Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Memo to the Jags. You want your own open on Jaguars Today? Go score some touchdowns, right? Hearnsey got his own. How about that? He got Frank choked up there in the middle of it, I think.
Good that they're building. It's good that the library is being built.
It's coming. Yeah, you got to make some plays. We got to have some positivity. We're not going to go, damn, that's another field goal for Steven Goskowski. we need some positivity, yeah,
I
Tony.
I think Frank had that cold week one against Philadelphia last year.
He did. We're just giving Frank a hard time, man. it's good that he's had as many big plays by Allen Hurns to call over his, 19-game career at this point in time. Hey, I figured it out. All right, if you want to get in today, we're talking Jaguar football. You may have noticed 641-1010. Hey, you know what? Today is a great opportunity, too, if you want to call in and talk about Cam Newton. Today might be your day to do that. Actually, we got Derek Schultz from Indy Radio going to join us here coming up in a little bit. We'll preview the Colts hosting the Jaguars this week and the division opener for Jacksonville. Opportunities there. Can they take advantage of it? We'll discuss that over the next couple of hours with Ryan O'Halloran. Forget looking back. We're looking ahead from this point forward. And with that, our question of the day, Ryan, focuses on Allen Hurns in part, right? Which one of these four, and I try to avoid some of the obvious ones. Which guy would have the biggest game-changing performance potentially? You take Bortles out. We've seen Allen Robinson have a huge game this year. So I gave him a couple on offense, Yeldon and Hurns, gave him Telvin Smith on defense, and I gave him Jason Myers as well. We all remember Josh Scobie winning a game against the Colts with a 59-yard field goal. Maybe it'll be Myers kicking indoors, having a big week for the Jags this week. Who knows?
Can I give you the two snarky questions I suggested?
Absolutely. Please pass those along.
The first one would be, what kind of trick play would you want to see?
Yes, in lieu of the highly successful fake punt. Right.
And the other one is, if they lose Monday, who would you want to see cut?
Yeah, we may save that one for Monday next week. But you know what? Let's think two and two on the brain.
I think if for them to win, I would say it's going to take turnovers, which is they only have one through three games. And how about a Telvin Smith pick six?
I'll take that. I mean, any one of these guys, I don't care where it comes from. Maybe Andre Branch, right? Maybe he'll be a surprise player. We're talking about that before the show. Maybe he gets 10 snaps this week on third down. Maybe he does it, but maybe he does. And maybe that one or two of those snaps will be a critical sack strip fumble of Andrew Luck, who, by the way, is as much as he has not been on top of his game, still tough to bring down in the pocket, man. I particularly go back to that Monday night game a couple weeks ago. Jets at times had four or five guys kind of bouncing off of him, and he just stands right there in the middle of the storm and hasn't delivered it as well this year. And look, you can look at the numbers and certainly say 40 touchdowns, very impressive, 16 interceptions against those 40, another impressive total. But as Jeff pointed out, completion percentage hasn't been there for him. Total QBR hasn't been there for him. You know, I know Tony likes that. You compare that to passer rating last year. It was like 96 in passer rating. It's down in the 50s in total QBR.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on which advanced statistics you want to look at, I guess, to tell the story.
Yeah, and I'll lean on the fact that, it's, you know, one of these weeks he's going to snap out of it. And he's going to get his tight ends involved. You know, Allen was hurt last week.
Right.
But go to Fleener, get Andre going.
Who's done nothing.
He's done nothing. He's had tons of success against this franchise throughout his career. So is Luck. So I'm sort of leaning on the, okay, they pulled one out of their hat against Tennessee. Now they're going back home knowing that, hey, they need this one to avoid 1-3. So I think the Colts will play well on offense. And the Jaguars, you know, give us something to look at on offense because the Colts' defense isn't great.
No, it's not. It's certainly they gave up 33 to Tennessee this week. And, look, the offense came through when they had to, and that's been some of Luck's MO. Good fourth quarter comebacks. You know, they've been in position and need to come back a lot of times in his brief career. But if Mariota doesn't turn it over, they lose that game. Don't tell me they weren't realizing the importance of not going to 0-3 going into that game. And still, for two and a half quarters at least, Tony, just scuffling along. So we'll see if they are able to kick it into a higher gear. Let's hope that higher gear doesn't come this weekend against the Jags. We'll take a timeout here and get you set for Jags talk for the next 2 hours. 641-1010 if you want to get in. 641-1010, also the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line if you'd like to join us there. Again, question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Which of these four is is most likely to have a game-changing type performance for the Jaguars this weekend. TJ Yeldon, Allen Hurns, Telvin Smith, Jason Myers. If you want to throw a write-in candidate, you're welcome to. You can do whatever you like. It's your Twitter and Facebook. At MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony on Twitter, and of course the Jaguars Today Facebook page open for business as well. We'll come back. We're going to hear from Gus Bradley today. We'll take your calls. We'll go up to Indy and get a little preview of why they've been struggling and can the Jags help them continue to move in that direction. Mike Dempsey with Ryan O'Halloran and Fat Tony live at Everbank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yeah, hopefully we find out that everything went well today. It's his first really live practice where he took multiple reps, so hopefully we get good news.
It's alive! Andre Branch, a little live practice, few reps. Hope that trend's in the right direction. Well, hey, look, they can use all the help they can get right now, especially if with Indy under constant, with Luck under constant pressure, need some guys that can provide some modicum of pressure.
Well, as I put yesterday, you know, maybe the worm's turning a little bit on the injury front because, I mean, Branch, okay, it's fine.
Jokel, yes, he did just knock on the table, ladies and gentlemen.
Knock on wood.
I understand.
You understood that. Jokel. Full, that's important. Cyprian, full, that's obviously a good sign for the defense, you would think. Grotz, full, so okay, there's your third corner, which probably be your second if House can't go, which I don't expect him to, him and Sergio Brown. So, you know, but the thing is, they've gotten guys back before, then lost other guys.
Right.
So, you know, maybe, you know, maybe their luck is changing.
Right. Well, get three back, lose two. Right?
Yeah.
Let's have it on instead the positive side of the ledger, at least.
Instead of getting two back and losing seven.
Duval Doom would like to know, he's invited you to join him in Tampa next week. Doom said, will Ryan O'Halloran get inked with me while we're in Tampa next week? Doom will pay for your tattoo.
I can't imagine any scenario where I would get a tattoo.
Any scenario?
What if you could name the tattoo Doom had to get?
I would think that was incumbent in the offer.
Yeah, well, if that offer includes a check for $250,000.
Oh, is that your price? What would it take? I'm not saying for your forehead. What would it take to get a little Bolt City Brigade shield on your shoulder?
This is what it would take. It would take, let's say, $1,000 to get like a shamrock.
So like a centimeter size shamrock,
like a size of a quarter.
So, oh, really? $1,000? All right, that's you know, maybe it'll take up a collection.
You know how I like to wear tank tops. I don't like tattoos on my shoulders.
He's wearing one right now, ladies and gentlemen, which is more than he usually wears here on Thursday mornings here on Jaguars Day. All right, so I'll take that as a tentative
that would be
no.
That would be a definite no.
Definite no. All right, you never know.
Appreciate the offer.
There's a lot of folks. Look, all those BC beers going down there. 50 cents a piece, they cover your grand that quick, man. And just to
how
see
many it. Are there on the buses? Or
boy, we had Cap in here last week. The total is about 2,000 tickets they sold, right?
A little over.
Like 1,200-person tailgate that they've got going on for that. They have, I think, 5 chartered buses going, Tony. And in addition to the buses, obviously, waves of other people. Great packages. They did a phenomenal job, man. And hopefully the Jags will reward them by playing well.
And be coming off a win. Be the leaders in the division, go into a game on the road in Tampa that they feel like they can get. I mean,
I don't win two in a row, Tony. We own the month of October.
Right. Are you kidding? 3-2 in the middle of October for the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Winning record, not just a .500
record.
Winning
record. Dare to dream, boys.
Absolutely. So, all right, let's hear a little bit from what Gus Bradley had to say. Hey, you know what? Look, if they win this one, there's no question they can beat the Bucs. There's no question they can beat the Bucs either way. If they lose this game, how much has the Bucs game become a necessity, in your opinion?
Becomes important.
I mean, really important.
Right? Yeah, because you know, you don't want to come back. You never know. You don't know what you're going to run into with Houston because their offense is in disarray right now. You don't know what you're going to get in Buffalo. They're up and down. So if you can get one of the next two. You're 2-3 going into those last two. Let's say you split those. You're 3-4 going into the bye. Hey, you should take that.
Right. Well, compared to recent seasons, certainly.
Exclusively because of that.
You beat the Colts, though. That is monumental. It will keep you alive and relevant in the AFC South for that much longer. And, you know, you beat them there. They still have to play the Patriots. They still have to come here. You need to think that way, I think, if you're the Jags and you're a Jag fan. If you can beat the Colts, you can win this division this year. I know how crazy that sounds coming off the game where they gave up more points than any game in league history. I said if they beat the Colts.
In Jaguars history, yes.
In Jaguars history, yes.
I mentioned that in Wednesday's papers. The good news for the Jaguars is they have their New England game out of the way.
Right.
But I would be stunned if they win on Sunday.
I wouldn't be stunned. Maybe I should be. Maybe I'm teal-colored glasses over here. What about you, Tony Smith?
I wouldn't be surprised.
I would be stunned, certainly.
I don't think Indianapolis is all that good. Outside of the quarterback position, their quarterback's not playing well.
Right.
And that's, like, when they went through their lineup on Monday Night Football against the Jets, I was like, this is the team that people thought was going to win a Super Bowl this year. This roster, people think can win a Super Bowl. I was like, that's crazy, just looking at it as they put it up on the screen, because I thought, outside of where Andrew Luck is in his progression in this league, that's the only real advantage I see them having over this Jaguars team, and they've held it over the whole division for 3 years.
Vontae Davis is pretty good.
He's pretty good.
As a top corner, shutdown corner type guy.
He's pretty good, but he hadn't been great this year.
But he's
been okay.
Who would you take? Vontae Davis or any single
guy? No, I get what you're saying, but he's been okay. He hasn't been the same guy he's been for the last 2 years.
I'm just talking about advantages of their lineup versus our lineup.
Sure. Their offensive line sucks. Their defensive line sucks. Outside of Vontae Davis, their secondary sucks. I mean, there's a lot of places where the Jaguars are even with that team. It's been Andrew Luck, and that's what they've held over the AFC South for 3 years now, is they have Andrew Luck and you don't. Well, he's not playing well right now. And Tennessee let him off the hook last week in that game. They've dominated the division. That's where they've made their ground against everybody else, is they just beat the snot out of everybody in this division. Well, somebody's got to stop it at some point if the Colts aren't going to go 10-6, 11-5 again and win the AFC South. I certainly think the Jaguars are capable. I don't know that I expect them to win, but I think they can.
By the way, Doom has said if you make it a Jaguars logo, he might go $1,000. I'm just passing along the update.
I saw that.
Just passing.
I chose
along
not
the
to respond to that.
To respond to Tony's point.
I don't see. Let's say this team came off a game against New England where they were competitive and played well in one or two phases. It was an abject disaster in all four phases.
I'm not arguing that.
That's why I don't think they can turn it around.
I'll say this, and granted, Indy, I think, you know, when Luck is playing well, and we don't know if he will or not, but when he is playing well, they did go to the AFC Championship game last year, so I'm not completely discounting his impact on the game, but the Jags didn't play particularly well week one. They certainly improved week two. They weren't perfect, but they did, you know, improve and were able to come away with a victory. I don't think it takes, you're not, Indy's not playing on New England's level right now. If they lose in that fashion to Indy, then there are a whole host of issues going on here that are not going to get resolved.
That would be really stunning. I don't expect that to happen. But I just have a feeling that Luck is going to have some time to throw. He's going to be able to spread the ball around, and I don't think this defense will have a consistent answer.
All right, let's get to Gus Bradley here talking yesterday after practice. First, giving you a quick rundown on Wednesday's practice.
Good practice today. Very, very competitive practice, offensively and defensively. Thought a lot of good work done. Loved the way they came out. A lot of attention to detail and refocus. I think our team feels like they wish we could play tomorrow, but we need these practices, and they're excited about the opportunity.
They're 4-0 on Wednesdays.
Perfect. Perfect practice.
They've had good Wednesday practices. Gus Bradley also asked about the challenge of going up there and facing this Indianapolis team.
Indy's very explosive offensively, defensively. They've got some guys coming back, and they had a great game this past weekend, and it'll be a great challenge for us.
You got to watch. I mean, Robert Mathis hasn't done much, but he's just starting to work his way back into playing shape. So he's been a guy, historically, does he have the most strip sacks, like sack fumble plays in the history of the National Football League. I think he does. I think he and Freeney were maybe the top two guys there for a while, but certainly a dangerous guy to watch out for. I don't know what he's got left coming off of major injury, so we'll see what he's able to bounce back with. Cyprian and Jokel, you mentioned those guys practicing yesterday. You expect them to give it a go. Gus talked about the importance of getting Jonathan Cyprian back for this team.
Well, I think it's extremely important. Hit just what he brings to this team, his leadership, you know, his style of play. So I think all qualities right now that would be, you know, a great addition to the secondary. So he just has a certain presence. Guys really trust him back there and allows us to do some different things.
I would expect Sample to go at free safety with Brown out. And let's face it, you know, it's not fair to lose your starting job because of an injury, but if when Gus talked about Sample yesterday, it was the same kind of twinkle you got from him when he was talking about Colvin last year. So I think if Sample does well, I think they're going to stick with him on the back end.
And I think that he's giving them reasons to. This is a guy who didn't show up for – he couldn't practice in camp. He didn't play for most of the preseason. And every opportunity they've given on the field, he shined. James Sample has been really good. You mentioned that Gus Bradley talked about him yesterday. Here's what he had to say about James Sample.
He's doing a good job. You know what I saw with him in the game? He makes plays. He had opportunity to make a couple plays, although he had an interference call. The seven cut that they threw, he made a play on. There's another couple plays that showed up. So I like his playmaking ability. Right now, he's the challenge for him is he's playing some free, and he's playing some strong, and then he goes back and plays free. And you know, so if we can get him to have a good grasp of both of them, that's going to just make us stronger. So that's what he's going through right now, kind of a little bit of a learning curve. He's taking more reps at free this week.
This week, who's played better, Sergio Brown or Jonathan Cyprian when they've played? I mean, is Sample more of a threat to Cyprian's job than he is to Sergio's job?
No.
If you're just basing it on level of play this year.
Everybody knows I've been hard on Cyprian. I'd give him an asterisk because he did suck it up in that one game and play hurt the whole way after he got hurt in the opening series. So I'll reserve judgment on Cyprian. You know, if I'm this coaching staff, I keep all options open because they just haven't won games the last couple of years. So if they think a guy's a better fit, you know, it'll be interesting to see if both those guys are in there, how they use them, how interchangeable they are.
More from Gus coming up, but coming up next, we've got Derek Schultz here with us from Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis. We'll find out how injured might Andrew Luck be. Do you think he'll tell us? Do you think he knows? We'll find out. We'll go through what's been ailing the Colts, and can the Jags find a way to keep that continuing this Sunday afternoon in Indianapolis? With Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, and I'm Mike Dempsey, live at Everbank. It's 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Welcome our next guest to the Metro Diner Chat Counter.
These are delicious!
On 1010XL, Metro Diner, where the locals eat.
No, I mean, it just seems like at times some teams have got some pressure on him. You know, I see him making some of the same throws that he made last year and his poise and things like that. Just some overthrows and some tip balls that were interceptions. That's a little bit different. But the throws that he's making look very similar to last year.
Gus Bradley talking about the play of Andrew Luck from his vantage point was asked if he thought Andrew Luck's shoulder injury, which he showed up as, limited in practice early week. Nobody doesn't think he won't play. Did I say that right? Was that like a triple negative? Nobody doesn't think he won't play. I'm pretty sure that was a triple negative, right?
I think if you complete that circle, he's playing.
He's playing. All right. That's my intent anyway. You know what? If he wants to take the week off, that'd be fine with us too. Let's welcome in Derek Schultz. He's an afternoon host with Jay Query on Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis, and he joins us here on 1010XL. What's up, Derek? Long time. Wait a minute. I talked to you yesterday. How are you?
Good to hear your voice again, Mike. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well. What about Andrew Luck, man? Is there something going on with his play? Obviously, you know, protection's got to be there. We understand football is a lot of moving parts going into it, but he doesn't look like the guy through the first 3 weeks of the season that we got used to last year when he was throwing 40 touchdowns against only 16 picks.
No, you're absolutely right. And an injury could certainly explain his poor play through these first three games because, guys, these issues for the Colts aren't new. Andrew Luck's getting hit a lot. But Andrew Luck got hit a lot in 2014. Andrew Luck got hit a lot in 2013. He got hit a lot in 2012. Yet he was able to overcome that behind a porous offensive line. So what's different now? Why more turnovers than normal? Why is his accuracy suffering as well? These are not new issues for the Colts as a team, and they've always been able to overcome them. So Luck's start here is very curious, and it lends a lot of credence to the fact that maybe he is playing hurt, as the Colts say. They're playing it really close to the vest. They're saying it's a shoulder. There are some people that are speculating that it's a rib injury, but the rumor mill is in full force here in Indy, guys. I mean, we've been getting callers, people saying that they're sisters, boyfriends, mailman's uncles saw him passed out at 31 flavors, you know, that kind of stuff. So
nice.
This is not something that is going to go away anytime soon, the speculation about Luck and what the injury is and what the severity of it is.
You mentioned Luck getting hit. Chuck Pagano was pretty pointed after the Monday night debacle about the O-line. They made those changes, moving Muhorn inside and whatnot. Do you think they're going to stick with that group, and did they play better against Tennessee?
They did play a little bit better against Tennessee, but that's, you know, kind of like there was nowhere to go but up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They really bottomed out, especially in that Jets game and Buffalo and New York with their constant pressure. I think they're just going to try to use it to see what combination works the best for them, because they just don't have a lot of good options at the interior in the two guard spots and at center. I think they feel good about what they have at Anthony Costanzo. They just extended him at left tackle. Jack Muhorn did a great job at right tackle last year, but you're kind of, you know, robbing Peter to pay Paul sort of by moving him around, because every time you move him around, that opens up another spot. The Colts are a complete train wreck at left guard. They started with Lance Lewis. He got demoted after two games. Keith Thornton is a former second-round pick who just hasn't worked out so far. Todd Harriman was one of their big free agent signings. His play's left a lot to be desired. So I think they're just going to try to find a combination that works and then stick with that. But they just don't have a good five-person group on the roster right now, period.
Derek, you mentioned that, it's nothing new for Andrew Luck to have an offensive line in front of him that's struggling, but this is the first time in his career that he's been hurt at all with that going on at the same time, and whether they're related or not, who knows. Has there been any discussion about the philosophy of this team and what it's been with Andrew Luck trying to force the ball downfield? They got a bunch of guys that are able to do that. The feeling was that they brought in Andre Johnson to give them somebody that could expose the middle part of the field in those shorter routes, but they haven't been able to take advantage of that. Has there been a discussion about the offensive philosophy of that team allowing Andrew Luck to take those shots?
Absolutely. There's been a lot of talk about changing things up and doing more short stuff, three-step drop stuff, because they got to get the ball out quickly because they're unable to protect him. And then kind of mixing in maybe some more play action, trying to lean a little more heavily on Frank Gore, who didn't see a lot of action through the first two games, but a lot of that had to do with the fact that the Colts were trailing, especially in Buffalo. They're down 24-0 at that point. You basically have to abandon the run game. But there's a lot of concerns about Andre Johnson so far, beating man coverage. He just does not look like the old Andre Johnson that Colts fans were used to seeing in Houston for so many years during a Hall of Fame career. Implementing Philip Dorsett, targeting the tight ends a little bit more. Dwayne Allen's been banged up, so that's kind of thrown a wrench into those plans. But, yeah, absolutely, there's been a lot of talk about Pep Hamilton getting a little bit more creative and trying to do more and making in-game adjustments instead of just being hell-bent on executing whatever game plan they come up to begin with. Because, guys, the game plans that come up to begin with, the Colts are notorious for their slow starts. They scored on their first possession, I think, once in the last 30 games. It's been really an uphill climb for them as far as putting together a game plan that works so they can get off to 7-0, 10-0 leads instead of having to dig themselves out of a hole every single week.
That is stunning, once out of 30 games. As we talk here with Derek Schultz, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis, you look at the way that game ended last week. Tennessee looked like they had them dead to rights, couple of turnovers. Colts were able to take advantage. We were discussing earlier, could that be the thing that gets the ball rolling a little bit for them offensively, Derek? Because really, into the third quarter, Luck was not playing well. Again, at least statistically, not very impressive. Do you think that could be the way they finish a game, something that sparks them going forward?
Yeah, you would hope so. It's really the only good quarter that they've played as a team so far this season. So it's been 1 out of 12. They very easily could be and probably should be 0-3 right now. So you hope that maybe something that they found there in the fourth quarter is something that they can take with them and move forward with it. But I think a lot of it just has to do, guys, with Luck playing better. It sounds really simplistic, and maybe it's unfair of me to put it all on the quarterback, but this team has a lot of issues that are covered up by the great play of their quarterback over the last 3 years. And when he's not great, those issues become that much more apparent. So if he plays the way that he did in the fourth quarter, 11 of 13, two touchdown passes, led three scoring drives, then yeah, absolutely, they can overcome a lot of these problems. But if he's going to go out like he did in the Buffalo game or be as sloppy and inaccurate as he was in the Jets game, they're just not really going to give themselves a chance to win, especially against the upper crust teams like New England, like Pittsburgh, teams like that, which a lot of Colts fans measure their team against to see what the real barometer is for how good they are.
Flipping it over to defense, only four sacks through three games. Who needs to get a wake-up call?
Jordan Berner, we've been waiting for him to wake up here in Indianapolis since he was a first.
He's gone. He's a bust. Give me another name.
Yeah. Eric Walden is another guy. Trent Cole, who's been banged up as well. That was another big free agent signee who's been very quiet so far. But I would say Eric Walden. Robert Mathis is just coming back from injury, so he's still getting his legs back under him. I think eventually he's going to be back to being somewhat close to what we're used to seeing Robert Mathis be. But Eric Walton is the guy that they invested a lot of money in, who has been good, has been bad, has been very inconsistent. And he's a guy at one of those rush linebacker spots that they need to be really good in order to generate pressure. But, guys, one of the big surprises and big positives of the season so far has been their defensive line play. They've got a pair of rookies from Stanford named David Perry and Henry Anderson who have both been really impressive so far. And that's really helped give them some push at the front of their line for the first time in a very long time.
I know a couple weeks ago on Monday Night Football, a lot of conversation about just, you know, they were having to play their fourth and fifth corners in that game against the New York Jets. I know Darius Butler, Greg Toler, both on the injury report this week, limited yesterday. What's the story on both those guys? Are they expected to be back this week?
It doesn't look like Darius Butler is going to be back. They keep saying week to week with Greg Toler. People are joking that it's hour to hour. There's really no indication yet whether Greg Toler is going to play on Sunday or not, but he's going to have a much better chance to play than Darius Butler is going to have of playing. Vontae Davis also went through concussion protocol. Actually, he had to leave the game against last week against Tennessee. He's going to be good to go. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. The cornerback position has been one that they have just been savaged by injuries. And they've had some guys in there that really just had no business being on a football field. They're down to their fourth or fifth guys. They like what they have when those players are healthy, but this has been the calling card here for Greg Toler since he's been signed, is that he's been banged up constantly. Vontae Davis is an all-pro corner who they can rely on. Darius Butler is a really good nickelback and a third guy. But Toler is the one that, you know, kind of like a game of Jenga, you pull that block out and the rest of the pieces start to get really shaky there.
All right, Derek, let's wrap up with this. Let's be honest here. The Colts started 0-2 last year, as we discussed yesterday. They still ended up 11-5, so they won 11 of their final 14 games. They look around the division. They say, you know what? Nobody took advantage of us. Nobody separated here. We got the Jags coming in who didn't force a single punt last week against New England. Do the Colts look at this like as a get-well week for them from their point of view?
I don't think they can afford to look at it that way. The fans might look at it that way because historically, just like with every AFC South opponent, it's been really one-sided. But I don't think the Colts can afford to be overlooking anybody. They very easily could be 0-3 right now. And say what you want comparing it to last year, but in Denver, the defending AFC champs in week one and Peyton Manning and that high-powered offense and Philly with what they put together, and that was a game that the Colts really gave away. They led by 7 with 3 minutes left. I think those two games were much different than getting completely dominated in week one in Buffalo and then losing to a Jets team that, let's face it, nobody's taking seriously in week two at home where they looked awful again. So I think the alarm bells are still ringing for the Colts here. This is another situation where they've really got to win these next two, because with New England coming to town in week six, that's going to be a real, real problem for them. So I know the Colts aren't overlooking Jacksonville. Maybe the fans are. But this team right now is off to a very shaky start, and there are a lot of red flags here. I don't think the feeling in Indianapolis is all everything is going to be okay. You know, Kevin Bacon in Animal House screaming from the top of his lungs, all is well. I think a lot of fans are very concerned with Luck's injury and these first three games, the performance so far of this team, who was hyped to be a Super Bowl team all offseason long.
Derek Schultz, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis, our man on the scene every time the Jags and the Colts go head-to-head. Derek, we appreciate it, man. I'd say enjoy the game, but we only want you to enjoy it if you're rooting for the Jags this weekend. So don't enjoy the game, Derek. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
All All right, we'll see you, Dirk Schultz, Fox Sports, up in Indianapolis.
Jaguar fans feel pretty good about their chances listening to him.
Right. I think he's giving you a pretty sober assessment of where it is. Doesn't mean they can't overcome it with transcendent quarterback play, but unless they get that, I agree with Tony. It's a pretty average to mediocre, I guess they're about the same thing, kind of a mediocre roster full of NFL players.
It but really is.
Luck last year, Tony, it was good enough to get them to the AFC title game. And, you know, that's the thing. You always wonder, is it going to snap into that? Maybe it can't. Maybe there are too many things working against him. Let's hope that's the case. Let's hope the Jags can continue to throw roadblocks up in his way to getting back to where he wants to be. One good quarter out of 12. That is stunning. Is that right? One first drive score out of 30 games? Can that possibly
be know.
Right?
I mean, I'd have to go back and look, obviously, to
Holy
figure that out.
Holy smokes, man. Don't let that team get off to a quick start against you then, because that would definitely
Well, they've been a comeback
a
team.
I mean,
Andrew Luck, it's been every week. They're down 10 in the fourth quarter, and he finds a way to pull one out. And that's what he's done for 3 years up there in Indianapolis, and this year he just hasn't been able to.
All right, coming back, we got this state in football. We also have the Honda Drive around the NFL. We'll open it back up for your calls if you'd like to get in at 641-1010 or send your thoughts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar. Text line question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Which one of these four is most likely to have a game-changing performance for the Jags this weekend? Yeldon, Hearns, Telvin Smith, Jason Myers. Tweet us your thoughts or share with them. Share your thoughts on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. With Fat Tony and Ryan O'Halloran, I'm Mike Dempsey. Live at Everbank, it's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you all week long by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. Hey, happy October, everybody. October. The Jaguars own October. Start thinking like that, okay? Get the Colts. Get Tampa. Get Houston. Get Buffalo.
Whoa.
Get a bye week. Bam, Tony. 4-0 in October. That's what I'm talking about, baby. 1922, former Chicago Staleys played their first NFL game as the Bears. They came up with a 6-0 victory in that one. 1933,
over the Giants like everyone else.
I got a Giants one for you right here. All right, you'll like this one, actually, though. 1933, the Packers had a game with 5 first downs. The Giants had 0.
Nice.
Against the Giants won the game 10-7 with not a first down in the contest.
The Giants just welcome everybody in the league with open arms.
They do, right? They're like, oh, there weren't that many teams to choose from, I guess, back then. 1955, Baltimore's Alan Ameche becomes the first rookie in league history to top 100 yards rushing in his first two games after totaling 153 yards against Detroit. He had 194 in his debut versus the Bears the previous week. Famous birthdays for this day, 1950, happy 65th to the meanest man in football, Conrad Dobler. Remember him? Were you about to say Conrad Dobler?
I was trying to come up with a name. I know it's him, but that wasn't close.
I had like a 1978 NFL like sport magazine annual, something like that. And they had like 3 or 4 pinup pages, like full page photos in there. They called them pinups. And Conrad Dobler was in there, voted, you know, dirtiest player in the National Football League, something along those lines. Also born in the state in 1971, former Florida State running back and a very good receiving back in his own right in the National Football League in the mid-90s. Amp Lee turns 44 years young today. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're just in the market for a family dentist, maybe you need your teeth cleaned, Dr. McCall is a certified Invisalign provider. He offers a 10% discount on all first-time customer visits. And if snoring's an issue in your household, the Somnomed Custom Fit Snore Guard is the solution. Visit jamesjmccall.com to get a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
A couple of injury updates for this weekend's slate of games. We've already talked today about this shoulder injury for Andrew Luck and his coach Chuck Pagano calling him day-to-day with the injury, but he is expected to play. New Orleans quarterback Drew Brees, who missed last week's loss for the Saints to Carolina, said that he feels really good about being able to play this Sunday night when they host the Dallas Cowboys, coming off the loss to Atlanta. And Seattle running back Marshawn Lynch is reportedly 50-50 to play on Monday Night Football against Detroit. That's the third week in a row we've had some kind of game time decision on Monday Night Football from one of the players you'd like to have in a fantasy lineup if you could. But Marshawn Lynch 50-50 to play on Monday.
Boy, Eddie Lacy looked quick on Monday night. You know, they didn't run a ton, but he looked fine on that ankle. You just never know. Sometimes I try to be cautious on those Monday night decisions, Tony. We'll talk about that more this afternoon. But with Lynch, hopefully you picked up Thomas Rawls, the undrafted rookie who impressed with 16 carries for 105 yards last week for Seattle. So that way, at least, you know, you put Lynch in your lineup and
sure,
you got to fall back with Rawls.
And it's unclear. Philadelphia, Washington this weekend could get moved with the hurricane moving up the coast there. They're not sure if they're going to be able to play that game or not.
Play it here, baby.
Bring it to Jacksonville. Bonus.
The stadium's available.
Bonus football this weekend. That would be quite strange, actually, to play it here. They played in recent years in Detroit, obviously, with the when there have been some weather concerns. I think snowstorm caused the game to go to Detroit. Wasn't that last year?
Yeah, it was Buffalo. It was too much snow in Buffalo, so they went
right
to Detroit.
That's right.
Vikings moved the game to Detroit when the dome collapsed.
I did watch, I don't know if it was Al Roker this morning, whatever my wife had on this morning when I got up, and apparently there's a European track, you know, that for, I don't know how much you're following the hurricane tracking, but there's one track that has it basically doing a 180 and headed towards Europe, and they said there were some indications that that may become more of the prevalent track going forward. I don't wish that on our friends over in the UK, but better them than us.
That's what I was paying attention to. They said going north, not west. Turned it.
Right. What? He's like, is it going to pass by the Florida-Georgia line without impacting us? Yeah. Keep going, buddy. Joaquin. Yeah, you're right. I mean, look, obviously, it's Category 3 right now. It could grow to a Category 4. You know, could hit anywhere from, you know, pretty much anywhere on the East Coast, it looks like, based on some of the projections out there. But
I should pay attention to weather. Like, I heard the name Joaquin 2 days ago, and when they said it was probably going to hit the Northeast, I stopped paying attention to what it was
right
doing.
Well, you're like Tom Coughlin, yeah, who, remember that he chastised fans one time, Ryan, for, I forget the exact wording, for, you know, not having enough people in the stands. Hey, we need your support. Tom, there was a tropical storm warning in effect, and he had no idea that there was a tropical storm warning in effect. That may have been why folks stayed home, T.C.,
when it's affecting us, I'm aware of it. When they tell me immediately it's like it's not going to affect Florida at all, I'm like, yeah, okay.
You know, so you don't care about my in-laws in the Carolinas?
I don't have in-laws.
I'm saying you don't care about mine. You don't care about my in-laws. I got in-law. I got family.
I hope they're okay.
I got family from North Carolina on up, man. Maryland, New Jersey, New York. There are a bunch of different areas that could get crushed.
Hey, man, I'm not wishing ill on anybody.
I hear you.
I'm just saying it's not hitting me, so I stopped paying attention to the storm.
I hear you. I went back to Connecticut each of the last couple summers, you know, to go back to my old hometown and just walk around. Took my sister there, who hadn't been back in like 35 years. And I lived closer to the beach in Connecticut than I live in Florida. It was like two blocks down the street from my house. And, you know, this huge, thick seawall and sandy. When it came through up there, just, I mean, destroy that thing. It's just in huge chunks of concrete laying around. It's amazing, the power and the devastation. So watch out for that. But it's certainly going to wreak havoc, potentially, with your fantasy football lineups this week. Be aware of that. Leagues will not give you credit in week 8 retroactive to week 4. So plan accordingly if you're loaded up on Eagles and Redskins, which I hope you're not, unless you're playing against me, because those teams have been underperforming at this point. Let's hear a little bit more from Gus Bradley, and then we'll hear from Blake Bortles coming up as well. The one thing we didn't get to from Gus, and we really didn't get into it with Derek Schultz. You know, Frank Gore, Tony brought up Andre Johnson with him, the two former Miami Hurricanes, kind of ring chasing. And, you know, I don't blame them. You know, they're going to Indianapolis for one last hurrah. They think it's a good fit. And you know, Gore got off to a slow start, but last week over 6 yards a carry, only had 14 carries, but did score a couple of touchdowns. And when you're behind, you can't get a guy to 20 carries. But he played well last week. He was not the issue, and Gus Bradley weighed in on the longtime veteran out of the U.
He's very poised. He's very patient. And then when he sees it, he hits it and goes. I think the biggest word is patience with him, is he kind of lets things develop in front of him at times, and then we'll see things that other backs don't see. He's playing at a high level now. I think some people in the league thought, all right, maybe, you know, he's going on the other side of his career. But that's not what you see on tape. You see him really a lot of the same things that I saw, you know, when I was in Seattle.
Well, that Gus hit it right there. A lot of familiarity from the NFC West. So, I mean, I watched a little bit of Gore on Sunday. Still looks like he's running with power.
Power and quickness. I thought he was very fast against the Jets on Monday Night Football. And, you know, you lose a fumble at the goal line, your night is not going to be seen the same way. But they couldn't run it a ton, but the times he got it, he looked very effective. Let me ask you this about T.J. Yeldon right now. Is that one of the issues right now? Maybe a little patience, or what is it? Because it seems to me, you know, talking to the tape watchers, guys who watch the tape, it's a case, and I know you do as well, Ryan, that, you know, sometimes the holes haven't been there. Certainly he's gotten hit in the backfield. But other times I've heard, you know, he's probably missed a few cuts as well. You think it's just a combination?
Well, I can attest to the ones where there's nothing to run, because you can see that. In terms of the patience, or should he have waited, that's above my expertise.
Right.
But I see when he's getting thrown for a loss, he's getting hit right away. It's not that he's dancing around. So to me, that would be a concern for this Jaguar offense, is you're not giving him a shot to make a decision.
Yeah, and look, I think we talk about Jokel being back at practice yesterday. Look, Jokel gets a lot of heat for what he does as a pass blocker, and deservedly so, with what he's done over the first couple of years that he's been on the field here. But he's a really good run blocker, and I think they've missed him in that part of the game with this football team for the last couple of weeks. Wells has done fine. Like, he's done fine as a pass blocker. Young, excuse me, has done fine as a pass blocker, but Jokel has been really good in the run game for this football team, and I think they've missed that.
Yeah, and you look at, like, this New England game, you didn't have Jokel. Linder was obviously laboring at right guard, and then you got behind, so you couldn't get that run game, you know, going. But I think that's another key, is, you know, the rookies for Indianapolis up front have played well, but challenge them a little bit.
Blake Bortles also talking to the media yesterday after practice, and he talked a little bit about just the attitude and edge in that locker room for this entire week after that loss to New England last weekend.
I think it's over and done with. I think guys came in Monday and Tuesday, you know, took what they could out of the game and moved on. You know, there's not a whole lot to say. You get killed like that, and you take what you can out of it, and you move on. You know, you can't let that kind of hang around and mess with you. So I think guys have done a good job of that. I think, you know, guys have moved on, and they're ready, and they're into their preparation for Indianapolis.
It does linger with the fan base and maybe the media more than it does with the players out of necessity. Right? Uh-huh. You can't go out there and have guys with violent intentions running at you, thinking about, oh man, we really let one get away. You know, you really do. I know it's cliche, Ryan, but you really do have to turn the page come about midweek and focus on the job at hand, or you're going to get smacked again.
Yeah, and, you know, literally turn the page, because they give you a new plan on Wednesday morning, and some of these guys got it Tuesday afternoon. And, you know, it's all about how you respond to adversity in this league. You can't let things snowball like they did within the game on Sunday. So we'll find out, you know, how did the coaching staff handle this challenge, and also have the players moved on from it.
All right, we'll come back. We'll hear more from Blake Bortles coming up. We'll get to the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line as well. Tweet us or post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page your thoughts on the question of the day, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Which one of these four is most likely to have a game-changing performance for the Jags this week? T.J. Yeldon, Allen Hurns, Telvin Smith, Jason Meyer. Share your thoughts with us. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today, live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
I do think at the beginning of the season, it takes a little time for your body to get used to the rhythm of it all, and, you know, what it's like to bounce back from a game, a physical game. So sort of take it day by day, and, you know, expect to play. That's for sure. Obviously going to defer to doctors and trainers and coaches on everything when it comes to that. But, you know, hopefully a little more tomorrow and ready to go.
That's a joke. Going to defer to doctors about whether or not he's going to play this weekend. Come on.
Are they trying to create a mystery for us, Tony?
Come on.
But the reason I wonder if it's a little bit more significant than just like a sore shoulder or a bruised shoulder is maybe the fact that he's talking about deferring to doctors. If it was just like, guys, I got hit in the shoulder, I'll be fine, right? You don't even need to bring that up. If it is
structural,
an injury, right, like a rotator cuff issue, a minor one, something like that, maybe it is something like that. Who knows? You know, Drew Brees dealt with that this week after getting banged around pretty good. Didn't play, so who knows? We all think Andrew Luck's playing in the game. The question is, can the Jags put enough pressure on him to make him less effective than he'd like to be? And That is the question, right? And, you know, will Andre Branch be a part of that? I don't know. But, you know, the Jets are not a great pass rush team. And they were around him a lot. I didn't see the Tennessee game because we were here working, watching the Jag game last week. But going back to the Monday Night Football game, they really collapsed that offensive line a lot. Now, he's big and strong, and he'll stand in there, and you can't assume the play is ever over with him. That's where I think he's most similar to Ben Roethlisberger, who he got compared to quite a bit. But, you know, are they going to be good enough to push back that Indy offensive line and not only get to him but get him down when they do?
Yeah, and I asked that question to Gus yesterday. I said, you know, has it come time to throw some more 5- and 6-man pressures, regardless of the opponent? Because I think this team coached not to get blown out last week against New England. They still got blown out. They played very conservative on coverages. Only rushed more than four times out of 48 dropbacks.
See, I'm with you, man. Logman says, you know, no way you don't blitz Tom Brady. Well, guess what? By not blitzing him, you're allowing him to score in every single possession.
If you blitz him, would you have lost 57-17?
Okay. Yeah. I mean, really, does it really matter at that point?
I mean, at least give the impression that you're thinking outside the box a little bit, because what you're doing wasn't working.
And so Gus's response to that was what?
Well, I can see that.
Well,
it was an acknowledgement, but I mean, based on what he said Monday, I think they'll try and get back to some of their coverage principles.
And look, to be fair, people hate to hear, well, they're banged up here, they can't do this, they don't have the right personnel groups, right? When you're playing a guy in Peyton Thompson, who was a practice squad corner a couple weeks ago, and now you're asking him to play safety in an NFL game where he's never played against Tom Brady and company, You can't just say we're going to flip up everything that we've done and expect him to be in a position to really succeed.
Well, and they were doing their conservative stuff way before Thompson got in the game.
Granted, but I mean, as the game went on, if you wanted to adjust to that and maybe mix it up a little bit, I think they almost got to a point where they're kind of stuck with what they had.
I mean, once you're down 30-3, just play just stick to what you've been doing.
Peyton, play deep.
Yeah.
Don't let anybody get behind you.
And don't bite on the play action. Oh, that's right, you did. That's how you get a 52-yard interference call. But, you know, in terms of, like, you know, everybody in this league does, you know, shows blitz, backs off. This team did it once. They don't do anything that's interesting.
Yeah, well, that's their philosophy.
Yeah.
But you got to have the horses to make that happen, right? You got to have the players that can execute a 4-man rush and get pressure consistently. Blake Bortles talking yesterday as well about his familiarity now with the Colts. He's played against them a few times.
You know, obviously, you know, being a divisional opponent, their team you're going to see twice a year, you know, for as long as we're in this division and here in Jacksonville. But I think that's kind of, you know, last year was new, right? You coming from college, you never play a team more than once. So it was cool to see that you get familiarity with them. You're able to go through a week of preparation. And then, you know, when you see them again, go back and you know, look at that, you know, all the notes and the plan you guys had in for that week and kind of revisit that. So I think there is, you know, there's some familiarity. You know, between the two teams, as far as the amount of times we faced them, you know, obviously they'll have some guys coming back that haven't played a whole lot in the beginning of the season, but I think it'll be good. I think we'll have a good plan and a good week of preparation.
Let's hope so. It's the first time that he's been able to go for, you know, this second round really against the Colts. He didn't start the game against the Colts the first week last year that they played him there in week 3. So round 2 for him, at least really being in that room and involved with the game plan. He also talked about Vontae Davis and his ability and coverage for the Colts.
I think he's a good player. He's obviously solid. You know, he's a guy that's been around. He's seen a lot of football. You know, I think he's got freaky athletic ability. And, you know, somebody you got to be aware of. But I think we match up well. I think Allen and Hearns and our guys outside do a good job of creating separation and running good routes and getting open. So, you know, he's not a guy that we're going to, you know, stay away from. You know, but he is a really good player and somebody you got to, you know, have awareness of.
All right, speaking of a wide receiver, since Blake was just speaking of a couple of his wide receivers, said Allen and Hearns, and we have some other guys, none mentioned by name. One notable exclusion, obviously, Marquise Lee. What's the latest in terms of midweek prognosis for him?
Well, he didn't practice yesterday, and haven't been told of a change for later today, which they're on the field here in 20 minutes. So let's say he doesn't practice today. You're just back to square one. And I thought Gus was pretty honest on Monday when basically said, you want to you want to rely on him. You want to trust on him, but he hasn't shown you that you can. And, you know, even if he's gimpy and plays in a game, it's almost to the point now where they have to have an extra receiver active for when he goes down.
And in doing that, they lost Leroy Reynolds to Chicago, you know, who you may say, all right, Leroy Reynolds, he's not, you know, he's not a Pro Bowler. He's a good special teams player. You don't want to lose good football players for this kind of reason, because of an uncertainty reason, and they had to have Tony Washington to have another body available at wide receiver. You know, look, every week you're not going to give up 51, let's hope, but there are teams that have high-powered offenses. Look around the National Football League, it's become more of a wide-open game, and it's been that way for a while now. Blake was asked yesterday, are the Jaguars getting closer to the point where if they give up some points, they can win some of these shootout-type games?
I think we're a couple things away. You know, I think Gus talks about precision, and Ole harps on it as well. I think, you know, we're a play here or there, a missed assignment here or there, away from being able to constantly score points. You know, I think we kind of eliminate the self-inflicting errors and wounds, and we'll be able to put up a ton of points. I really do think we're right there.
I thought it was a pretty good quote from Blake saying we're a couple things away. To me, that means number 80.
That's the first thing that popped in my head. A couple things away. Julius Thomas being the first one.
Number 76 blocking.
Yeah.
And but I mean,
maybe having Marquise Lee healthy.
Yeah. A couple things equal a couple players.
I really, that was the first thing, whether that was his intent or not. That was as soon as he said a couple things, I thought, well, Julius is one of those things, right? I mean, you got to think from Blake's perspective, like, damn, man, you know, give me the full arsenal out there. Julius Thomas, you know, there was a little bit of misunderstanding, I think, with the Indy media about Gus's comments about him yesterday. We discussed that on the show, but, as he said, there's really nothing new, right? No status update. And when he knows something more, we'll know something more. And, you know, that something more would not happen now until week five.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be the Houston game here.
Week six.
Because let's say, we'll throw out a timetable. Let's say he gets cleared for contact next Wednesday and, okay, then practices a little bit. Do they feel comfortable putting him in a game right away, or do they want to give it an extra week?
Yes, so, no.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm comfortable. No, I don't want to wait.
Yeah.
That would be my response.
But, you know, so Houston, and then when you throw out another guy, Derek Marks, still hasn't done a full practice. I mean, does he play before the bye?
Right.
The reason, and people have asked me this, the reason they didn't keep him on PUP is if he's on PUP, he cannot even put a helmet on.
Right.
So he can't work on his condition. He can't do individual drills. So they did the roster spot knowing full well it may not be until week six or seven until he's able to play.
Which speaks to his importance to the team, the fact that they would hold that spot for him knowing it's likely going to be a while for him. Julius Thomas was asked a couple of things yesterday. Let's hear what he had to say on, first of all, things he's been able to work on and maybe fine-tune a little bit despite not being able to do everything in practice.
Oh, man, I've been able to fine-tune a lot of footwork stuff. Just trying to be a student of the game and understanding that even in year five at age 27, you know, there's still things I can improve on, you know, route running, footwork in the run game, and those are all things I've been able to work on. So, you know, hopefully I come back to pretty sharp. I'm looking forward to that just because I have been able to build some things and work on some aspects of my game that I probably wouldn't have had to chance to if I was out there participating in practice every day with everybody else.
Footwork ought to be like, the Dancing with the Stars level by now, Tony? I don't know. Murray?
You wonder how much it's going to help him with Blake. I mean, this is all new for both those guys. You know, the other guy is brand new, and they got the work in during the offseason, you know, together, and then they're early on in camp after the first preseason game. Basically, he's gone. And whatever he can do in practice is more than he would be able to do if he was seriously injured at this point. So you certainly hope it helps the chemistry between those two guys early on when he returns, and you're not having to wait two or three weeks but when he gets back to feel like they're comfortable with one another on the football field.
And I think that's where this will be a thing they'll have to correct is all they say is, well, wait till these guys get back and they have the full roster. Well, chances are other guys will go down. I mean, just waiting for these guys to come back, you've lost Green, you've lost Denard, etc. Once these guys do play in a game, they're not going to be full speed right away. There's going to be a transition period. So, you know, you're looking at week 9, 10, 11 to where you have the guys who miss camp up to speed, and the guys back who've been hurt returned.
Granted, other guys get hurt playing football. We know that. But I think the feeling is, boy, Best player on the team last year was Mark, so you could argue he's the best player on defense. And even if you don't think he's going to be the same guy he was, and I don't think he will be this year. I think it may take until 2016 until we see that Cedric Marks return. But you got him, and you got the guy that everyone's touting as the best looking player on the practice field, Julius Thomas. So while you may lose other guys, these may be the two most vital cogs outside of the quarterback position, one for the offense, one for the defense. So, you know, from that standpoint, I can understand why people would feel like, you know, more help is going to come back even if you lose a couple of guys.
Sure, and I think what you just said, Ryan, is also why this weekend is vitally important for a team where if the fans' expectation before the season started was, hey, let's just be relevant in December, right? Let's just be a team that is alive for the playoffs mathematically when December rolls around. Well, it looks like the way that's going to happen for this team right now is a down AFC South. And the best way to keep the AFC South down is to figure out how to beat the Indianapolis Colts, especially when they're not playing very well and their quarterback appears to be hurt. And I don't think they're going to be a full-strength team until they get to game 8, 9, 10 in the season because of exactly what you just said. But there's a huge opportunity on Sunday in Indianapolis to make sure the Colts aren't that way either. Uh-huh. They're not healthy. They're not feeling good about their season. And maybe by the time you do feel good about what you're putting on the field, you're still in position to make that kind of thing happen late in the season.
Get ready to change my pick.
Yeah, come on. It's happening, baby. 4-0 in October. Get on the bus, all right? Julius Thomas, I mentioned what he said earlier, but here you can hear it from his own mouth on if he feels like the all clear in terms of his participation is coming soon.
I don't know. I don't want to speculate or get anybody too excited, or myself included. I'm just going to wait, and you know, when I find out, you guys will probably see me pulling that helmet down and running around.
I'm sure he's anxious to get out there, man, and,
no doubt,
do everything. And I've been impressed with him, Tony, since the day he got here with his, you know, his demeanor and his approach to how he's going to try and help this football team, his intelligence, and certainly his skill level. It's all there for him. And, you know, you're arguably going to add, with apologies to Allen Robinson and how well he's played at times, the most important piece that Blake Bortles is going to have around him for the foreseeable future. And that you can't, you can't underestimate it, put it that way.
And also, we haven't seen what the ripple effect would be.
Right. Yeah. Will double teams go his way, making it easier for Allen Robinson? And will Allen Hurns be running single covered the entire game, every week, down in, down out? You're right.
Get that eighth man out of the box. That's what Greg Olson said yesterday. I asked him, "How? You know, what's the step to get the running game going?" He said, "We have to throw downfield to get that safety off the line of scrimmage."
Right.
So
you have to have some success doing it.
Yeah,
but they've taken some shots.
They've taken a lot of shots downfield. Now you got to start completing those.
All right, we got to take time out here. We will come back and take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today. Gave you a little combo platter to choose from. TJ Yeldon, Allen Hurns, Talvin Smith, Jason Myers. Which one of those four particular Jaguars you think is most likely to have a game-changing performance for the good for the Jags this Sunday against the Indianapolis Colts? We'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Ryan O'Halloran here with you live at EverBank. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Alrighty, here we go down the stretch. We're just in a good mood because we're sensing it's 4-0 in October.
I'm trying to turn O'Halloran around. I'm not even sure that I'm picking
happy,
the Jags on
he's
Sunday.
Happy Ryan.
I'm like, tomorrow when we make our picks, I'm not sure I'm picking the Jags to
right.
beat the Colts, but I certainly think they got an opportunity and a big one
yes.
this weekend.
We just want him to acknowledge the opportunity, Tony.
Well,
don't go back to being old Madigan.
Our guest from Indianapolis,
Derek Schultz,
on this show and on previous shows I've done throughout the years, we've always had opposing viewpoint. That was the most downtrodden. So to me, that's like planting a seed in my head. Okay, maybe they really do suck.
Maybe it's as bad up there. I mean, I'm sure up there by their, you know, look, they're not sitting there.
One or two last year, though, but
right,
it feels different.
It does feel different. And Ryan, they're not going to go, well, man, you know, the Jags are 1-2. We're tied for first place. The Colts are 1-2. They're like, what the hell, man? We went to the AFC Championship game,
right.
You know? So even though they're tied for first place as
imagine
well.
Imagine how everyone else in the division would feel right now if we were 3-0, which they probably feel like they could or should be.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the Colts thing. And it almost feels like, depending on what happens this week, You know, for the Colts, does it become the 2014 Saints, where everybody thought that was a Super Bowl caliber team last
year? Not everyone.
And they start the season 1-2, they drop that fourth game to 1-3, and now it's a dogfight for them all year long. And that's what you want, if you're a Jags fan, that's what you want the AFC South to turn into, is this dogfight where everybody's in the pile together, and nobody's very good, so who's going to come out on top when everything is said and done? And there's the potential for that, but you have to push them over this week to really create that kind of feeling in the division.
Yeah, I'm with you. I truly believe this. If the Jags, because if the Jags go and win this game, I'm going to presume that it's a sign that they're going to be more competitive and they can put that loss to New England behind them. I'm not going to assume that it's just an outlier. If you can go to Indy in your division, the team that's still your biggest competition in the division, and win this week, I do think they can hang around in the divisional race, because I don't think anyone's going to separate from the pack. And now you can't squander that by going out and dropping a game to the Bucks and then to the Houston Texans and give it all right back. But I do think, Ryan, if they go and beat Indy, we should expect them to go to Tampa and win, and we should expect them to beat Houston. Doesn't mean they're guaranteed to do that, but I mean, that to me would be the mindset. If we can do this, we can certainly do those, and we should be expected to do those other things.
Yes, definitely next week. Unless if the Jags go up there and, you know, win, then you're coming back down here and you're facing Tampa.
Right.
You're saying, okay, so that would be the next test.
Correct.
You know, can you go on the road and win two straight? So, I mean, I, you know, from my viewpoint is, you know, they should have to play better against Indy, and win or lose, Tampa's a big one.
Yeah, right. Win or lose, because you're right. If they beat Indy, you can't give it all right back and squander that by losing to the Bucs. And if they lose to Indy, well, now you're 1-3, and it almost becomes a sense of desperation. Well, if not this one, which one are we going to break through on? So I'm with you on that as well. Our fan feedback spotlight today, asking folks, I think this is a good question, Tony, because we got a variety of responses. We've got Telvin Smith, we got Jason Myers, we got Alan Hearns, we got TJ Yeldon. Which one of these guys, from a Jag perspective, do you think is most likely to have a game-changing performance against Indy this week? What kind of feedback did we get?
Here's what we got from Brian. Most likely got to be Yeldon. Keep pounding it. From Chris, Yeldon, I feel he is just one or two better blocks away from reaching the safeties. From Martin, Yeldon, those guys can't stop anybody, and the kid is due for a breakout performance. And he's got hashtag N, and the D is out of it, Indianapolis. From Cristiano, game-winning field goal for Myers. From Eric, this is the game that Yeldon goes off, starting him on my fantasy team, breakout game. From Irish Jaguar, Myers. From Stoff, Hearns and Yeldon for me, hashtag teal Kool-Aid flowing. From Isaiah, Allen Robinson and TJ Yeldon. From Paolo, Hearnsy with a long touchdown for the win. From Black Dog, Telvin Tasmanian Devil Smith, jersey sales will go wild after his hat trick Sunday with a sack, interception, and fumble recovery. From Clarence, Yeldon run, TJ run. From Brandon, Yeldon is going to prove MJD right and show that Indy has no run defense. And from Alvaro, all of them are more than capable to have a breakout performance.
Thank you, Alvaro. Dynamite contribution. We're busting your chops because we can. From Richard on Facebook, if the Jags want to win on the road at Indy, they need to make first downs and control the clock. This is Yeldon's week to put the offense in a lot of second and third and short situations and make that happen. Mike Borquin said, since no running game, really, not Yeldon. Myers' opportunity is all about chance at the end of a game, so no. Since the ball is spread around so much, not Hearns. Overrated luck makes a lot of mistakes. I'm going with Telvin, all right? Larry Venable said, I'm hoping Telvin will come away big with a couple of takeaways to help keep the Jags in first in the division. Dustin Smith said, hopefully Hearns can blow by Colts defensive back Darius Barnes. Matthew Ryan, hey, Matt Ryan's checking in. Robinson, they have a depleted secondary. That's not one of the options. Let's go to Adrian Jackson. Why not all of them? No limits. Remember, you're right, Adrian. Isn't it? Gus Bradley told us no limits, so let's all of them have game-changing plays. And after a horrible performance across the board last week, why not bounce back across the board, too? I'm going to give Adrian Jackson a Jaguars Today t-shirt.
Sweet.
For his efforts today there, Tony. I like it. Why not all of them, Adrian? Thinking outside the box. Go get her done this weekend. I do think Yeldon is important to I don't know if he is most likely out of those guys to have a game-changing performance, but I think he may be most critical to having one. You know, certainly, look, anybody can be critical in any given moment. If Telvin blows a coverage, you know, that results in a touchdown.
Sure.
You know, if Myers misses a potential game winner, whatever. But, Ryan, I still think as much comeback ability as Indy has shown, if you do take a lead at some point in the fourth quarter, you have to be able to run the ball and not go three and out and give it right back to the Colts.
And also, you know, when Indianapolis does score, answer with something on a drive.
Yes.
Not three and out. You know, get 6 or 7 yards on first down, you know, to set up a longer drive. I mean, of all those guys, you could say, If Yeldon has the big game, they're winning. I mean, Telvin could do a lot of great things and come up short, but
sure.
If TJ goes for 25 carries for 132 yards, chances are the Jags are winning.
Right. Myers can only make the opportunities he's given.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hearns, I think Hearns has a great opportunity here with Vontae Davis likely taking on Allen Robinson this week. Not like they won't throw Allen Robinson's way.
No.
You know, Blake's going to throw it to him. But, you know, if you read the coverage, I mean, the best cover guy is likely going to be on him. Allen Hearns needs to step up, too.
And we talked about it this offseason. We always talk about Marquise Lee and his ability to take the top off the defense. I don't think Hearns is that guy. But he's a guy that in his first year plus in the league has shown an uncanny ability to get open down the field. And when he catches the ball, there are opportunities for huge plays in that passing game with Allen Hearns. At least that's what he's shown in 19 games.
And, you know, guys benefiting from more attention on Allen Robinson. Just like when Julius comes back, Allen Robinson is benefit. So it's that ripple effect. Is Hearns is a perfect guy run an 18-yard route against man coverage. I mean, he's probably not, you know, take your shot running by somebody, but he's I don't want to call him a possession receiver because he makes a lot more bigger plays
right.
than that.
But he's not a speedster.
Correct.
A pure speedster.
Yeah, and, you know, he can make a guy miss and turn that, you know, 20-yard pass into a 50-something-yard touchdown.
Make the easy plays, too. This is, you know, following up from the early part of the season. Catch the catchable ones, right? You're not going to make every contested catch. We understand that. I'm not just talking about Hearns. I'm talking about across the board here. Make the simple plays. When you got luck in your grasp, get him on the ground when you get hands on him, right? I mean, when you have a chance to bring Frank Gore down in the open field, don't let him make you miss and pick up the extra 6 yards for the first down. Those kind of things.
Yeah, and on another thing on offense is key is you got to be better in the red zone. They're 3 of 8 through three games. No, and it's not because they're getting blown out and they're going for it on fourth down. Those numbers aren't skewed. They're just not getting it done. They've had to kick field goals after reaching the 3 and the 9.
That's where you think Julius Thomas shows up the most when yeah. he eventually does show up. All right, for you, Ryan, at the Florida Times Union, what do we have coming up over the next several days?
Well, on Sunday, we're going to take a look at the defense, what's gone wrong, and can they correct it? My answer simply would be a lot and no.
Wow.
And then,
quick preview there for you, folks.
And then Hayes Carlion's Inside the Game, focus on the vulnerable Colts defense, which ties into what we've been talking about today. So a couple good things. So
we want you to tune in tomorrow. Tony and I are going to continue to work to sway you over to the point where you're going to be begging Duval Doom to get you that Bold City Brigade shield on your shoulder there down in Tampa next week. Or maybe not.
Probably not.
Maybe just give the Jags a better chance of winning on Sunday than you do right
yeah.
now. How about that?
Yeah.
That would be a victory.
If I turn it around there, we can forget about the other request.
All right. All right. At Ryan O'Halloran on Twitter. Good to see you, man. We'll do it again next week. Have a good trip to Indy. All
Thank
right.
Thank you.
You got it, buddy. For Ryan O'Halloran, for Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey wrapping things up today. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors. Don't forget, Fat Tony and I coming back with the FanDuel Fantasy Forecast at 2 o'clock. Hey, week 4 is open for business. Even if you miss out before Thursday night, you haven't missed anything. Our league starts Sunday, runs Sunday and Monday games. So anytime up until 1 o'clock kickoff on Sunday, you can get in. But if you get in now, you can tweak that lineup so at the last minute, you can put in Ryan Matthews like Ryan O'Halloran did, and you won some money last week.
Won 10 bucks.
Not bad. 10 bucks for a $5 entry. You're heading in the right
yeah.
direction.
And for those people who aren't in, and I'll plug FanDuel here, is I've enjoyed that more than the regular fantasy.
The season long.
Yeah. Because it's like, it's, you know, not too, just 5 minutes.
Boom, 5 minutes, you're in, and you mix it up every week.
Yeah. So I highly recommend it because I've enjoyed it.
There he goes. Ryan O'Halloran wants some money. We have to take down the scourge that is Alfie. Are you kidding me? Alfie took down first place last week. I'll be like, scourge nothing, man. I'm stealing all your ducats. And he cashed on a couple of his entries last week. I was literally the first one out of the money. It paid 35 places last week. I was 36.12 points away.
I was 29th.
From that, well, you know what? 29th was better than my 36.
I would say I got some kind of dirt on Alfie, but everybody's got some kind of dirt on Alfie.
Exactly. All right. FanDuel Fantasy Forecast coming up at 2 XL Primetime. Coming up next right here on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Now, Duval, give me two claps and a Rick Flip.
Woo!
That's great job.